Namaskar. So here we're going to do a little overview of the field of yoga and how yoga is in fact a glandular exercise. To do this, first we need to define a few terms, namely the term yoga itself. What is that? First of all, it's a Sanskrit word derived from the root yuj, which means to yoke, or to bring together. And yoga, we can say colloquially speaking, it means union, to merge two into one. Like when you make water and sugar, if you stir that, then you can no longer separate the sugar from the water. They become one, completely immersed in one another. And so the actual true or classical definition of yoga is the unit consciousness becoming one with the supreme consciousness. So unit and vast, or sometimes they'll say jiva, jivatman, unit consciousness, and paramatman, supreme consciousness, if you use the Sanskrit words. So yoga means this endeavor to merge from small to great. That's the overall classical definition of what yoga is. And so the question is, how do you achieve that? Well, there was a sage on the planet around 2,200 years ago, and he was not, I can't say he was a great, great yogi, but he was an intellectual, and he did something that was very helpful for humanity. He codified the existing teachings of yoga into eight limbs. So rather than this being disparate teachings in different avenues or different places, he brought them all together in one systematic method. And that was known as Ashtanga Yoga. Ashta means eight, ang means limb, and yoga means, well, we just talked about that. So the Ashtanga Yoga means eight limbs. And what are those classical eight limbs? Number one and number two are a group, jama and niyama. And those are 10 principles of life or of morality. And in another podcast, perhaps we'll explore those 10 principles. So those are the first two steps, jama and niyama. The third step is asan, or asana. And that means seat. And it means yoga posture. And that is what is typically practiced in the West, or in the contemporary yoga movement, the physical postures of yoga. Then the fourth step of Ashtanga Yoga is pranayama, a very meditative breathing endeavor. The fifth step is pratyahara. Pratyahara means withdrawal of mind from external physicality, to introvert the mind, to teach the mind to go inwards and not be completely drawn to the external world. Number six is dharana. Dharana means concentration. Generally, concentration on chakra points to help elevate the mind. And then number seven is dhyan, which means sustained meditation, usually with a mantra, where the mind is immersed. And then eight is samadhi, means immersed in the great, when the mind becomes fixed in the thought of the Supreme. So it's like the culmination. So now we've got yoga, and we've got this methodology, these eight steps. And now we have to explore, we're going to explore asan, the physical postures, because that's the aspect we're talking about here in terms of how the physical postures of yoga are related with the glands and what impact that has on human life. So actually, at the beginning, the yogis were just doing meditation. There was not a fully developed system of yoga postures. But when they sat for meditation, they found that it was not so easy to concentrate the mind. There were a lot of distractions. Not to mention that it wasn't easy for their knees and hips to sit still for a long time. So it was problematic in multiple avenues. And that led to the development of the asan. The asan itself literally means seat. a way to sit. But it became a series of postures which, when practiced, will help the meditator to sit in a more sustained and concentrated manner. So the asanas were developed. And they were developed in a way based on the glands, because the glands are the linking point between the physical and psychic bodies. And that was going to help the yogis in their concentration. So no doubt in our physical yoga practice, or asana practice, or hatha yoga sometimes it's called, the limbs, the muscles and tendons and joints and all those physical elements of the body are stretched and strengthened, and it helps. It's advantageous for the body on all those levels. But the actual postures are devised based on the glands. We have lots of different glands in the body. And by putting pressure and depressure on various glands, by bending forward, by bending back, we're talking glands like the thyroid gland and all the different glands of the body. And we're going to also talk about the chakras here as well. But or the pituitary gland or the pineal gland, those are glands up high in the head. But by putting gentle pressure on those glands, then they get exercised and they actually become balanced. And the benefit of that is that the secretions of those glands, which have an effect both on our physical body and on our mental disposition, become normalized, become proper. If someone has a glandular defect or an over-secretion or under-secretion of various glands, it can create tremendous health problems and lead to psychic instability. So the yoga postures are a way to neatly balance and bring the glandular system into a state of composure. Now, so we just have to explore here how the glandular system here. So we're talking here how by bending and doing the physical postures, the glands will then affect the mental being, mental body. And it can also work the other way, that just by thinking, you can activate the glands and it can have a physical effect. Like if you think of your favorite food and close your eyes and you really think that you're chewing that food, then the salivary glands will start to secrete, even though there's no physical food in front of you. So just a mere thought of the food will activate the glands. So that shows that the glands are relayed with the mind. And then we know by putting pressure and depressure on the glands physically, then that will also affect, that shows the glands are also related with body. So you can affect the glands from a psychic perspective or from a physical perspective. And in our meditation, it helps to calm the mind, and that naturally has effect on the glands. And the yoga postures, all the physical postures, are glandular based. Now we're going to bring into something else here, and this is very new in Western, it's not part of Western psychology or Western biopsychology, as the field is known as yoga, is that different glands have different effects on the human psyche. And the glands hover around different chakra points, and chakra points are different energy centers along the spine. And by putting pressure and by balancing out the glands, we can actually affect the human personality. Because different propensities, or in Sanskrit the word is vrittis, V-R-T-T-I-S, different vrittis are related with different glands in glandular secretions. And so whether it be fear or anger or jealousy or love, all these are related with different glandular secretions. which turns the human experience into a biological machine, a glandular machine that affects both the human personality and our physical in our physical body, because the glands also keep luster to the skin. They do all sorts of things for, you know, they run the metabolism. They have all sorts of benefits. And I don't proclaim here to be a scientist per se from the Western perspective. And this will be something that will have to be developed from that aspect as well. The yogis understood this intuitively. And I've never seen anything that the yogis understood intuitively to be overturned by Western science. Rather, it was corroborated. So many things. Whether it be the science of breath control, and everybody says, okay, how the breath can... What the yogic way of breathing has been beneficial and now is used in stress management. And the yogic diet. And the yogic way of keeping for wellness of the spine and the back and the muscles. So there's many aspects of yoga that the yogis understood intuitively, and then later on Western scientists corroborated that. And this is going to happen within the field of biopsychology as well, or the effect of glands on the human personality. So the yoga asanas are a big aspect because they fit into that system of Ashtanga Yoga, of eight limbs of yoga. It's the third limb. And it's not just, so the asana is not just meant to be some type of physical practice. It's seated within that greater context of the yogic method of revolutionizing and refining one's human experience to a more and more subtle plane. And the way the asanas do that, which other exercises don't do, because there's lots of exercises that will strengthen the muscles and even stretch, and they'll do all different types of things for the muscles and physical well-being, but they don't have that very subtle glandular impact, which the yoga asana has. And actually, the definition, the classical definition of yoga asana is sthir sukham asanam. It means that position which, when comfortably held, brings a state of ease and composure to the practitioner. So the definition itself is not physical, it's more psychic, or physical-psychic. And that's why it's a very unique type of exercise and has such a dynamic impact on those who practice. And that's why you'll see that even if people come to a yoga class just purely for physical benefit, they're not interested in spirituality or not maybe so inclined, or they came with a backache, people come for all different types of reasons. But even then, if at the end of the class, they'll leave with a mind that's more calm, more quiet, more introverted, more relaxed. So whether you like it or not, or whether you're desiring it or not, or whether that's your aim or not, people get the psychic and even spiritual benefit of the yoga practice, of the physical aspect or asana practice. Because one of the aspects also of, or one of the benefits or aims of the asana practice is to prepare the mind for meditation, to use this as a transition from external physicality to moving the body, to getting the mind quiet and preparing the mind to sit and be able to concentrate and go into the depths of one's meditation. So that was a brief overview of the relation of what yoga is, what is the overall aim of yoga, how the yoga asanas are the third step of a greater methodology of Ashtanga Yoga, and how the physical practice of yoga is not merely just an exercise for the body, but how it impacts the mind through the glandular system and allows for psychic development and psycho-spiritual development. And that's the way of the yogi, to refine in all realms of life and to bring the mind ultimately into a more subtle and more spiritual space. Okay, namaskar.